Brother Earl Fox was his pastor, and I want you to hear him gladly tonight as he delivers God's message, and you pray for him and help him. Don't you sit there and just look at him. You say amen. Wave your hand at him. It'll make you listen better and him preach better. Amen.
I don't know if it's on. You can hear me. Well, I was sitting over there, and I said, Lord, verify what I'm about to preach. And as soon as I said that in my heart, they sang, only one thing will matter. And you'll know what I'm talking about in a minute. I thank God for the privilege to bring bread to my brothers, like James was preaching last night. And I'm going to bring you a loaf from the New Testament and a loaf from the Old Testament. I'll have you turn to Luke 18 and Genesis chapter number 2. That's the two spots I have you turn to. Luke 18 and Genesis chapter number 2. I thank God for saving my soul. One thing mattered in 1976, and one thing matters today. And I also thank the Lord that, this white pulpit is my Cape Canaveral in ministry. I launched into ministry 41 years ago from this pulpit, and God has blessed me more than I deserve. And I once was young. And now I'm old. Now, I don't have the white hair that these guys has got. But I'll tell you the secret. $7.95 from Walmart will straighten you out. And especially if your church knows it. It's a good pastor appreciation gift by the case. So, if you would stand to your feet, Genesis chapter number 2, and we'll start over in the scripture over in Luke 18. Luke 18, verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Say the rest of the verse with me out loud. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? And then if you'll turn over to Genesis chapter number 2, the story of Adam in the garden, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You can sit down. And he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. I want to preach on this thought. I believe what he said about that tree. Say that with me. I believe what he said about that tree. One more time, louder. I believe what he said about that tree. Do you know the story of the whole Bible is believing what he said about that tree? In 1976, I got under conviction. And thank God, I believed what he said about that tree. Not the one in the Garden of Eden. But the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You can be saved by believing what he said about the tree. There was a man approached me one time and he said, you know, I don't go to church because you Christians have so many things that you can do wrong. There's so many rules. And I began to look in the Bible, you know, and I thought to myself in my mind, what am I going to tell this guy? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, there ain't but one thing you can get wrong. There ain't but one thing. And I looked at Adam's life, and you know, there were literally thousands of things he could get right. As a matter of fact, as long as he believed what he said about that tree, he could do no wrong. He could get millions of things right, and nothing was wrong, and he would never die. Didn't Jesus tell that fellow that was in doubt, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe? That sounds familiar, don't it? Well, you know, as long as he believed what God said about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, let me just give you some things. He gave Adam a busy, productive life when he put him there in the garden. Lots of things that he could do correctly. Everything. There's only one thing you could get wrong. If you're down on your life, if you're beating yourself up for your past and things you've allowed to go on in your life, I want you to know, really, if you sort through all the mess, you've really only got one thing to get wrong in life. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Man got one thing wrong and now everything's wrong. But if you get one thing right, everything can be right in Christ Jesus. Well, I got to move along. Let me run down Adam's life, for example. I thought about this. Number one, he could give living eternally in health and happiness right. He could get that right. No pills. Any of y'all got pill bottles? I'm eating pills left and right. No pills to take. Nobody's going to cut on him and take a cancer tumor out. It's not going to happen. There's no hospice. There's no funeral homes. There's no graveyards. All he can do is breathe God's air, eat God's food from all them good trees, and he could never mess that up as long as he believed what he said about that tree. Not only live eternally, but also he had leadership over every creature, according to chapter 1, verse 28. He was over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the beast of the field. Do you know today on earth there are 20 quintillion animals on earth, they estimate. And I know they've multiplied. They've filled the Amazon and the jungles and all that stuff. But you know, in Adam's time, they say that right now on earth there are 8.7 million species, and they've not even discovered all of them yet from what God created in the beginning. They're still finding new stuff that isn't new. God stuck it on the earth when he made the first animals. And they're just finding. They think that it would take 1,000 years for man today to just catalog the life that exists right now, not counting the over 200 million dinosaurs they estimate from fossils and stuff that wandered the earth. I mean, that's a lot to keep up with. And the Bible says that he had dominion over all of them. So that's thousands, if not millions, of animals in subjection to him. And they all knew who was boss. They didn't. He let them know that he was in the top of the pecking order because God designed it that way. Couldn't get it wrong. Not only that, labor in the garden, he could not get wrong. Everything was going to be right. God put him there to dress it and to keep it. And you know, there are over, they say, about 60,000 different variants of trees on earth. Do you know the Garden of Eden was not a garden of taters and squash and things like we think of a garden. It was a garden of trees. Look at the Bible. It was fruit trees. And there were many trees. We aren't told how many trees, but there are over 60,000 variants of trees on earth. And that's today. That's not what's in the coal deposits of Pennsylvania and the ones that have went extinct since the flood. That's right now. And you know what? God stuck him in the middle of all that. We don't know how big the Garden of Eden was. We know that there were river borders and stuff, and that could have changed during the flood. But you know, it could have been anywhere from 100 acres to 100,000 square miles. But God put him in the middle of it, and he could do no wrong with all them many things to do, as long as he believed what he said about that tree. Follow me this evening. You know, he was put out there to be productive. There are 391,000 types of plants on earth. He went in there and stroked each one of them and knew what they needed. A lot to take care of. Some of you gripe if you got to take a little hoe out and get the weeds out. Adam went out there and he took care of everything, and he didn't grumble and gripe about it, because he could not get one thing wrong as long as he believed what he said about that tree. See, work was not a form of punishment because man hadn't yet sinned. God created man to work. During work in God's garden was an enjoyable experience. Amen. They didn't mail him a check or nothing like that and pay all his bills for him or anything. There wasn't none of that stuff, but he didn't lay around. He enjoyed doing what he's doing. Some people, they don't want to serve the Lord, and they say, what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to serve the Lord. Because you know what? Adam was out there, and he was serving God. He was working in the garden. It was an enjoyable experience, and he was doing everything right because he believed what he said about one tree, and everything fell into place. A work ethic is something that is very rare in our increasingly socialistic society. People sitting around eating tater chips on the couch, wanting somebody to keep them up. That was not in Adam's nature. He was created to work, and he wanted to work, and he pleased God, and he got pleasure to himself, and it was all because he put the tree in perspective correctly. Everything else was right. Here's another thing he could do right. He could label all the animals. I was telling you, paleontologists, they go to the fossil deposits. They've estimated there could have been over 200 million dinosaurs. But you know, God, when he made all these animals, he walked them by Adam to see what Adam would name them. There's a lot of animals. I told you there's 8.7 million life forms on earth now, and that's with the dinosaurs gone. He knew who T-Rex was, and Triceratops, and Diplodocus, and Stegosaurus. He knew all of them. God let him name them whatever they were, and God liked every name he gave them. You know where I'm going with this? God's walking some stuff by us in our generation, and we're putting names on it. I wonder if God likes the label we're putting on things today. I wonder if that pleases him. We pick a rainbow out of the cloud, and it's supposed to symbolize God's promise, and we label it pride for the sin of the generation. I don't believe God is pleased with that in our day. If it was us in this generation, God would walk by a giraffe and we'd name it Shorty. He'd walk by a hippopotamus and we'd call it Skinny. We'd have it all messed up. But you know, as long as he kept what God said about the tree correct and believed it, everything he named it lined up with what God wanted. Everything. I believe what he said about the tree. I'm going someplace with this with God's help. He labeled everything right. He labored in the garden. It was all right. His leadership over every creature was accurate, correct. He lived eternally in health and happiness because he believed what God said about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As long as he believed that, he couldn't get things messed up. And he had a lot of things to get right. He could love his family, be fruitful and multiply. He could have intimacy with his wife that God brought him later on. He could start a family as God originally intended it. Do you notice that Adam did not wander out in the garden, lay down, go to sleep, God take a rib out and he wake up and there's a man and a woman to pick from? It never happened. God did not enter any kind of confusion into the thing. He brought him a woman. Look over her shoulder, there's not another woman behind her. He can't even commit adultery. There's no other woman to look at. He cannot become a homosexual because there's no man to look at. And she cannot become a lesbian because there's no other woman to look at. And he can only get it right because, what? He believes, tell it with me, he believes what he said about the tree. And it's all flowing as God intended. Here's another thing you can get right. Now, we've talked about 60,000 trees, 391,000 types of plants, 8.7 million animals to our species to name that we know of. God's happy with all of it. You know why? Because he's got his theology right about the tree. He says, yep, if I touch that tree, I'm going to die. I believe what you said. What do we read over there in Luke chapter 18? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? He's looking for somebody that believes what he said about the tree. Nothing has changed. That is the story of the whole Bible. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. That's what it's about. It's about faith and belief. There's only one thing that you can get wrong, and it relates to a tree. The story of a tree. He could lunch from all the many good trees that were there. The Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 1, he could have every herb of the field. Today, commercially, they trade 2,000 to 3,000 known herbs. He didn't just have all the good trees to eat from in the tree of life. He had 2,000 to 3,000 different herbs he could eat. And every one of them was right for him. I go to the restaurant and I look at the menu and everything's wrong for me. I look at that and there's 1,000 calories for this and 2,000 for that. You even get a salad over there at McDonald's and they throw all that stuff on and you got 1,000 calorie salad. And everything they say is wrong for you. He could eat 2,000, 3,000 herbs. He could eat who knows how many of 60,000 variants of trees that grow on the earth that produce fruit. He couldn't get any of it wrong as long as he had the tree in the right perspective. And so, that one thing, when he got it wrong. Now we have many things that we can mess up. Many things that we can get wrong. In the first chapter of Genesis, it mentions the phrase, God said. 10 times, God said, God said. It goes through creation. Stuck him trees, plants, put him in the garden. And it's all about what God said. Amen. Serpent comes slithering on down. Yea, hath God said that you cannot eat of this tree, or you can eat of every tree, but not this one. He's holding back on you. That's Bryony's paraphrase, but you know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. He don't want you to be happy. It looks good. It'll make you smart if you eat that tree. He questioned what God said about the tree. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? They were singing a while ago, only one thing will matter. Rich young ruler, he said, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. And you know, it's amazing. He never asked Solomon with his $2 or $3 trillion. You know, Solomon was as wealthy as the top 400 wealthiest men on the planet at one time. There'll never be another tree in there. He didn't take none of it with him, but he didn't have to lay his trillions down. He got to take it all the way to his grave. Abraham was rich. He took it all the way to his grave. But this one boy, he had to sell it all. You know why? Because he didn't believe what he said about the tree. And what did he say about the tree? If you eat of it, you're a sinner, you're going to die. And Jesus came to hang on a tree and to bleed for our sins. And if you do not look like that serpent in the wilderness over in John 3, he said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Look and live. Some of them's like, Snake bit me. I ain't gonna look at another snake. As in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all will be made alive. The word, it's interesting, the Bible says about sin. Do you know it always mentions sin for the most part in singular in the Bible? I don't know what Dr. Bagwell knows about Greek and Hebrew, but it's interesting it mentions sins 171 times in the King James Bible, but it mentions sin, singular, 1,292 times. Isn't that something? It all goes down to not many things we get wrong, like the guy was arguing with me, but it's still just one thing we miss. What did God say about the tree? You eat of it, you die. What does God say about the cross in Jesus Christ? You can look and live. You can look to Him and He'll cleanse you and make you whiter than snow. Jews had over 200 sins that if they commit on the Sabbath day, it'd be bad. And they, you know, how many sins are there? There's somebody done a statistic one time and says, okay, there are eight. They done a poll. How do you do a poll on how many sins a person does? Somebody sit down with a clipboard and sit there and watch. I don't know how they do it, but they come up with something. They said it's estimated that the average Christian sins about 80 times a day, either in mind or action. And I thought, my goodness, that's a lot. But you know what? It all goes down to the one sin. Do you believe what he said about that tree? That woman come in to Simon's house, and he told Simon, he says, this woman, her sins that were many are forgiven her. So it talked about many things, but it all goes back to one thing. That starts an avalanche of wrongdoings in a person's life. The domino effect, and it's the singular sin of unbelief. Let me tell you this evening, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God that hung on that tree and raised the third day, you will die in your sins. It all hinges on whether you believe what He said about the tree. The story of the whole Bible. Matthew 13:58. He did not many mighty works there because of what? Unbelief. When a person commits the one sin of not taking God at His word. Let me give you this. Everybody with me? All right. When you commit that sin of not believing, that means you do not believe. If you commit any sin, you do not believe that God cares for you. The serpent told Eve that God was holding back on her. And somehow or another, Eve decided that she knew what was best for her life. And so she stepped out there, and she took of the fruit, and then she thought she knew what was best for Adam, and she took it over to him. And that's a message to all parents. If you're living in sin, your youngins is watching you, and you're going to pass some rotten stuff down to them that's going to take their soul to hell if they don't believe what he said about the tree. You don't believe that God cares. Number two, if you commit sin, you don't believe God cares, just like Eve. He's holding out on me. And you don't believe that it's a crime to do what you're doing. You see, you don't just sin against other people. We don't need to repent of sin because of the horizontal effects, how it affects people, as much as we need to repent of sin because of how it affects the heart of God. Jesus bled on the cross for our sins, and we need to repent and of sin because of what God said about it. Don't believe that God cares. Don't believe that it's a crime when we sin. Satan said it's okay, but the Lord said it'll kill you. Do you believe that? That's the difference. Number three, you don't believe that you'll get caught. The Bible says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Now, everybody thinks that's a lost person verse. Everybody says, that's lost people. Yeah, they'll go to hell after sin's done. You ever think of the fact that sin, look at what it did to Adam and Eve. Now, Adam's in heaven. If you read Genesis 3:15, there's a messianic promise nestled there. He crushed Satan's head when he died on that tree. There's going to be another tree, Adam, down in the future if you'll believe it by faith. They clothed him with some kind of animal skin. Something had to die in that garden. The first thing to die was not a man, but it was an innocent lamb. And I want you to know that Jesus, when he died, he didn't die as a 58-year-old fat man standing up on a pulpit stage. He died as a young lamb at the prime of his life. Gave his life when he's 33 years old. He didn't wait till he's old and been over and he'd done lived his life how he wanted to. No, he lived the perfect life and gave himself a ransom as a lamb for us. You don't believe you get caught. David hid his sin for a while. But the thing is, his sin was getting a woman pregnant. You know what happens when a woman gets pregnant? You don't notice it first. But it starts doing this. It starts doing this. You put on more clothes. Pretty soon it's sticking out of there. And then Nathan comes in there and says, "You are the man." He could not hide it from people, but most importantly, he could not hide it from God. Amen. You've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, sin will build a stronghold in your life. So, any sin that you, anything you do wrong is tied to one thing, unbelief. You don't believe that God cares. You don't believe it's a crime to do what you're doing. You don't believe that you'll get caught. Adam's got a fig leaf somewhere hiding behind a tree. And God says, "Where are thou?" Why is he hiding? He don't think he'll get caught. But he did. You know who's caught you and who's caught me? Who cares if the preacher catches you? Who cares if your family catches you? God's already got you. The Bible says that he's concluded all under sin. All of us are sold under sin. The question is, do you believe what he said about the tree? Last of all, when you commit sin, you don't believe God cares. You think you got a better plan for your life. That's the way it was with Eve. You don't believe it's a crime. That's why you listen to the devil and not God. You don't believe you're going to get caught, so you do it anyway. And number four, you don't believe that there are consequences for your sin. It all, the whole story of the Bible. Somebody come to me and said, "Tell me the whole story. God, put it in a small form." I said, "Believe or not believe. That's the whole story of the whole Bible. From Genesis 1:1. When the book of Genesis, man didn't believe what God said about a tree, and today this lost, dying world is on their way to hell because they do not believe what God said of the record concerning his son. No difference at all. But I'm going to end the message with this. If you've sinned against God, people say, "Well, a Christian or a believer won't not believe." I beg to differ. Old Thomas, that had watched him walk on the water and seen the inner circle come out of, seen Jairus bring his daughter out celebrating when the inner circle went in there, he thought, "Well, they said she's dead and they're there and she is alive." He saw these things. He heard the thunders utter the voice. And he heard things and seen things, but he said, "Except I can put my finger in the print of the nail. See the nail prints in his hand. I will not believe." Unbelief has destroyed a lot of churches, kept the power of God away from us. So do you believe what he said about the tree? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There was hope for Adam when he had a million things wrong, stroking 60,000 trees, picking fruit, 391,000 variants of plants, 8.7 million types of animals, and they still ain't discovered. He's in charge of all of them. He's got a million things to get right, but he's only got one thing to get wrong, and he got it wrong. But I'm glad God came and clothed him and gave him the promise of Genesis 3:15 that he would stand up another tree and give mankind one more chance to believe what he said about that tree. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. If you eat of this tree, you're going to die. Some of you, you're doubting your salvation. I've got it in writing. There's been 5 billion Bibles printed since 1440. You can find it in writing. I remember one time I got in trouble. They had accused me. They stole my identity. They said, well, Covey, I had a loan. I'd signed something up in New York. I couldn't prove it. But I worked in the laboratory, and there was an inspector coming there one day, and he said, I don't care how much reagent that you've used, how many chemicals, and how many batteries you've used in them meters. If you don't have it in writing in a book, it never happened. And so when they started, the lawyer started sending stuff to me. We're going to sue. We're going to do this. And then the lawyer finally said, prove to us your whereabouts. And I went to the water plant where I'd retired, and I scooped up hard-bound logbooks from my laboratory work for 30 years. And it made a stack of books 5 foot high. I took a picture and I said, you're welcome to look through those books. I got my presence in writing. And so if you ever doubt, whether you're saved or not, you ever doubt if you've been forgiven of your sins, you've got it in writing. When I got saved, I read where he said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I got it wrote down. I can carry a written document with me all the time, and it's all right. Because I believed in 1976 what he said about a tree. Thank you. God bless you.